This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hi, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I am Katie McCowan, and I am so glad that you are joining us today. I'm really excited about what we're talking about. And what we're discussing on the podcast this month is the idea of self-care, but not necessarily self-care the way you've heard it in the world. And, you know, listen, I had a New Year's resolution to take more bubble baths, so there's nothing wrong with that. But what we know is that to truly care for ourselves, we need to care for our souls. There is a spiritual self-care that is vital to every day so that we can show up and live our best day ever. And I am super excited about the guest that we have on the podcast today to talk to us a little bit more about this and how she practices this spiritual self-care in her life. Today, we have Rachel Autry joining us on the podcast. Rachel, hi.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so glad that you are here. And I have to read, I'm reading this straight from Rachel's website, but it's so awesome because this is how she kind of introduces herself. And it says, "We're about to be besties. You might just not know it yet." So just heads up to all the listeners, you and Rachel are about to be besties. And so I love that. Totally. For those of you who haven't met Rachel yet, she is a podcaster, an online encourager, and a military wife. She loves sharing shortcuts to the smaller things in life so you have more margin to focus on what she calls the legit stuff. And she loves to share this so that you're freed up to love your people well, stand in your purpose, and show up. And I just love that. I was talking to Rachel right before we started this interview. I want to read that last line one more time because I love it so much. And I think that's so much of what we're trying to do for you on the Best Day Ever podcast so that you're freed up to love your people well, stand in your purpose, and show up. So Rachel, thank you so much for being here.
This is such an honor. I'm so excited.
So I love that, you know, it says that you're a military wife, and I know that that life alone has unique challenges. I think that it's probably a pretty uncertain life and maybe one that's more unpredictable.
Yeah.
So let's start for a minute and just talk to me about some of the challenges that you face when we talk about spiritual self-care and caring for your soul. What are some challenges that you find to this in your everyday life?
Yeah, I think it's so funny you even asked me that because I was just talking with a neighbor about this, and I live on a military base. So whenever I say neighbor, I mean a fellow military spouse. Mm-hmm. And we were laughing at this idea of routine and how I said something on our walk because I'm about to have a baby. And so we were talking about, you know, what do you want to do before baby? And I was like, I'm just trying to get into the swing of things, trying to get into routine. And she laughed. She's like, "That's so cute." That's not going to happen. She's like, so "Have you not learned anything as a military wife?" And I was like, "Oh my goodness, you're so right." That I think the hardest part for me in this season, and I think just my calling to stand in that place for my family as a military spouse, is that I don't have a part one, part two, part three. A lot of times it looks like part four, part one, part three, part seven, part six. And I have to be okay with the flexibility and the hands open. And that is a lot easier said than done, I think.
I just feel like, and I know as a military wife, there are some things that are so unique. But I do feel like you have landed on something that a lot of women struggle with. So I am not a military wife, but I am a mom with six kids.
Yeah.
And even just the season that we are, I don't know if you can say we're coming out of it. Maybe we're just still living in
We're going to say we're coming out of it. I'm okay with saying we're coming out of it.
Okay. But it's like all routine just got thrown out the window in the last 12 to 18 months. Everything that we, even if we thought we had routine and we thought we maybe had this normal pattern, that's gone. We're trying to figure it out. But even then, just with the whether it's the busyness of life or whether it's just the surprises, you know, as a woman, I think a lot of times we are available to others in many ways, whether it's as a mother or a sister or a daughter or a spouse or a friend or a, you know, a coworker. And we will balance the needs of a lot of people. And so a lot of times we're not going to have this designated time every day from, you know, 1:51 to 2:07 or something like that. We're not going to have that. And so the lack of routine can cause us to just do the next thing as it comes to us. And then maybe we get to the end of every day and we look back and at what point have we cared for our souls or even thought of them? And so I do think that's something that a lot of us struggle with. So then here's my question to you. If it's not something where you know every day that you're going to have this designated time or this 30 minutes or even this 15 minutes where you're going to care for your soul and invest in that, how do you do it? When do you do it? Have you learned anything that helps you care for your soul or helps you spend time with Jesus?
Yeah, that's good. I think what's so funny, as even we just talk about this, it's coming up to my heart that, like, I think that who I am and the way I was built, I love strategy. I love organization. I can compartmentalize things really well. And so the idea of routine, I love it. It makes me comfortable because I have a schedule or I have something to report to. But when it gets thrown out the window, like we're talking about, I now have to rely on something else besides my routine, which what a beautiful opportunity to then turn to God and be like, okay, if I don't have the power over my schedule, will you take the power over my schedule? And I think when we look at it that way with this perspective, we're freed up from that 30-minute sitting with coffee, quiet before the kids get up kind of thing. We're freed from the, you know, staying on track with the Bible plan that we might have signed up for. Like, we're freed from that because God's like, I want to meet you in your every moment, whether that is riding in the car to the grocery store and you're able to give me that 7-minute drive with some worship music and like really process what you're saying or thinking, or if it's a, hey, you have a few minutes before your next thing, how are you going to spend it? Will you scroll or will you stay silent and be with me? And I think that we've gotten in this world, I'll speak for myself. I have gotten in this world of thinking it should be a certain way. Yes. And my soul care has to look like X, Y, Z when maybe God's calling me in something completely different in that moment than he'll call me to the next day. And so if I'm doing it the way Rachel thinks it should be done, I might be missing out completely. And so this idea of losing routine, I think is a lot more beautiful than we give it credit for. So when you ask, how do you do it? I'm like, every day I feel like has been different. I would love to say I sit down with a scripture card and I journal and then I read my Bible and then I listen to worship music and then I shut my Bible and I pray and I leave this session with the Lord, but that's not how it is for me now. And as attractive as that sounds, I just don't know if that's actually caring for my soul as much as I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Because I think I love how you said, we can rely on the routine of it more than meeting with our Savior. And so you hit on some really good things. One thing is, and I want to challenge all of our listeners for a minute to think about this. In your head, what is it supposed to look like? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, Rachel kind of described, you know, sitting there with your cup of coffee and it's quiet. And I think that's very real that we come into each day and we consider soul care and we have this preconceived idea of what it is supposed to look like. And so before we can really talk about how we're going to successfully care for our souls and prioritize that, we might need to consider what is keeping us from it because we've got this quote unquote perfect idea of what it's supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And I'm with you on the coffee, Rachel. In my little perfect place, there's coffee and it's quiet, you know, and it's a certain time of day and all of that. And I would like to say this too, because I've heard this over the years. we always kind of think the next stage of life will present that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Oh, when all of my kids go to school full time, or oh, when all of my kids are out of the house, and whatever, or, you know, whatever it is that you kind of think the next stage of life, when I'm not in this stage of life anymore, whichever that is for you, you might think that there will be a time that you can prioritize your soul care because maybe it will be easier. And what I continually hear from women who have moved ahead of me in the next stage of life is that it doesn't. Like every stage of life, and that probably sounds like such a downer, and I'm not trying to make it sound like such a downer, but just that every stage of life is going to present its challenges to your schedule. Mm-hmm. I love that you brought the schedule up, Rachel, because it really is a lot of times what dictates whether we do or don't care for our souls. Our schedule dictates that. Do we have the time? Do we think we have time? Do we not? And so I just want to encourage you that don't wait for the next season of your life thinking that somehow it becomes easier, because what has been relayed to me is that it doesn't. We do have to make an intentional choice to prioritize it. And so Rachel, you touched on some of the ways, you're talking about, I like to call it kind of weaving it in to mm-hmm. the fabric of our day instead of designating it to a time of day. We weave it into the fabric of our day. And you mentioned a few of those things. So let's talk a little bit more about how you can capitalize on maybe pockets of time throughout the day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. One of my favorite things about God that I feel like I'm learning recently is that he's strategic and he wants to create this unique experience with each of us. And so when we get into this program, like we were just talking about, of flipping open our Bible and like reading through a plan or whatever, that's great. And I highly encourage you open up the Word of God. I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying that it doesn't stop there. And so, the weave it in, that's exactly it for me, I recognize that today Rachel needed to stop reading in Exodus when I hit that one verse, because that one verse pinged my heart in a way it needed to be hit and struck. And so I didn't finish today because I wanted to be there in that one moment. And so different ways to approach the Lord and ask him and invite him into that special moment can look a lot of different ways. I just think we need to open up our little small minds to be more creative and join God's strategy in reaching us in this moment. So practically, for me, sometimes that looks like, well, also let me just preface, I don't have children yet. So I can imagine if we were to be doing this interview in a few more months, this answer might be completely different. But I will say that sometimes that looks like giving him my first thoughts. And mm-hmm. when I wake up, this sounds so silly, but we have like a little Google Home in like our upstairs area. And so I say like, hey Google, good morning. And I've set it on my phone to where it starts playing a worship playlist on shuffle. And so it's really neat too, because the shuffle is always so interesting and strategic, because it's always a song that I need to hear to prep me and my heart for that day. Or it's while you're showering, like praying or giving whatever it is that day that you're anxious about to the Lord and having him speak to it first. It could be as easy as you're cleaning and doing the dishes, like praying over the plates. Again, sounds silly, but like praying over the plates and being like, Lord, would you bless the people that are going to be sitting at my table eating from this plate? Like, is there a family I need to invite over? Is there someone that needs to be loved in my community that we can host? Mm-hmm. If it's cleaning your children's room, like Christine Ockles has a podcast called Glorious in the Mundane. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, on one of her episodes, she said that one of her friends encouraged her as she was folding laundry and like putting laundry away in her children's room to be praying over their underwear and for their purity. And then mm-hmm. to be praying over their socks and where their feet would take them. And I mean, I hope this is inspiring people listening, that it can be so much bigger and more intimate than us walking through daily life and missing out on opportunities to invite God in. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, like sitting with your Bible, 100%, like we need the Word of God in our life. But again, like I think he is so delighted to spend whatever moment we can give him whether it looks like that fancy morning with a freshly brewed coffee that's actually still hot sitting in the Word of God, or if it's the last thing we do that night because we just need a deep breath and we only get two verses in. I think he's powerful and he's going to show up wherever we can.
Yes. And I do love that you mentioned right before we go to bed and right when we get up, because I have found, now I am by nature a night owl. And so it just doesn't matter how tired I've been all day long. For some reason at night, I have energy, right?
Don't and, you love that?
I do. It has not gone well with the six kids because they get up early and I have to get up early. And so the staying up at night doesn't match well. So I have made myself go to bed, but I can't, there have been plenty of times that I have, oh, that's the last thing I do. And some people are going to fall asleep if they try to read right before they go to bed. I get that. But I do know a lot of people who will get in bed and read. Well, how about the last thing we read before we go to bed is the Word of God? And again, like you said, Rachel, it doesn't have to be the whole chapter. Now, there are some people that if you have the whole chapter on your daily reading plan and you don't finish it, it's going to bother you all day long.
Right.
And I get that. And that's okay. But I do love what Rachel said about how we all know that when we get, when we're reading and there's that one verse and you're like, oh, yes. Okay. Got it. God wants me to read this again and chew on
linger.
This.
Yeah,
that's right. I love the word linger. And so we want to be willing to do that. But one thing that I've heard you say, Rachel, is the day by day, you know, every day it might be different. And so I want to offer you this question to ask God when you start every day, which is, God, and I guess it's not really a question, request, but God, show me the time today that I have to spend with you. Mm-hmm. Because if every day is a little bit different, then it might be different every day. And it might be like Rachel, you said, on the way to the grocery store, and he might interrupt your thoughts that are going through what you're about to do or going through the burdens that, you know, are weighing on your heart. Maybe that's where your mind is. And he interrupts and he says, hey, these are the minutes that I have for us today. And so when we will just start every day and say, okay, God, show me the time today, then be attentive to that throughout the day, and then be faithful when he shows you the time to spend that time with him.
Yeah. And Katie, I want to add this too, that this is as much for Rachel as it is for the people I'm loving. And that's where that part in my bio that I love is that it frees you up to love people when you can be filled up first. And like the driving to the grocery store, I have an example, but I one time was just driving to the grocery store and I was in a rush because I had that pickup window and I was 4 minutes from missing it. And I was like, I just was panicking. And I felt like the Lord was like, I hit every single red light on the way to Kroger. I was like, this of course would be happening. But I really felt slowed down. And the Lord was like, will you hush? Like, will you just be here with me? I have a mission I'm trying to put you on, and you're looking straight through it. And I need you to look at it with me. I was like, all right, what is it? And I felt like in that moment, I actually gave God the opportunity. And I'm telling you this, not because I do this every time, but because this was one of my sassy moments. He got my attention, but I was able to pull up, and the woman that was loading my groceries, I asked her how her day was. And she said, it's actually not going well. Mm-hmm. And we were able just to talk, and I was able to just try and give her a piece of light and let her know that God sees you. I wish I could take this day away from you and we could start over together. But since it's not an option, like, can I just pray for you? And the way that she was so excited to receive it, I would not have known had I been charging through the red lights, excited to get my groceries, to get home, to get to my next thing. Right. And so again, if we give God the chance to speak to us and we give him the margin in our lives to move, it affects more people than just us. And when we get stuck in the just us, like, am I filled up? Do I feel good? Did I check off my day of my Bible reading plan? I think we miss out on the ways we can expand the kingdom and love other people well, love our family well, because it's not, the soul care is beautiful, but it doesn't stop with us.
And just even the way Our souls are so blessed when we participate in God's purposes. There's always the battle between spirit and flesh. The Bible is not quiet on that tension. And so the thing about prioritizing our time with Jesus and caring for our souls is that it positions us to be more available to participate in the very life-giving things that He has planned for us to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And I think we all, unfortunately, know the difference between when our actions flow from a heart that has been burdened and worn out and exhausted, and a heart that has been filled up with the love and the presence of Jesus. I wish I didn't know the difference, but I do. And I think, you know, we're all sinners. And so I'm sure we probably all know the difference and how that feels when we've done it one way or the other. And even just listening to you share that testimony, Rachel, I could hear in your voice, just the joy of being a part of that and watching God move in through you for the sake of someone else. And so it is something that almost, you know, it's almost like a domino effect. We prioritize walking with Jesus, and then we get this every day that can be a best day ever, even when we're frustrated or running late, like we were in that moment. Right. So I want to finish with, if you could share, I know that you have just some things that you have learned along the way that help you when you're spending time with Jesus. Maybe they help you focus, or maybe they help you be present in that place, whether it is, you know, riding down the road or the quiet spot somewhere. And so for someone who's listening, who wants to spend time with Jesus and hasn't ever really had anyone share with them where to start or what that looks like, I'd love for you to share just a few things that help you with spending time with Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I love, again, like, you ask me this in a few months, Katie, I'll probably have a different answer, because there are so many amazing tools and resources out there to make this an experience where you can actually gain something for you, sure, but then know God more. And so I'd say first off is I would practically encourage people to go into their time with the Lord, whether you want to call it quiet time with Jesus, whatever. Go into it with the understanding that you are coming to get to know the Lord more. You're getting to know the heart of God more, not Rachel is doing quiet time so Rachel can learn Rachel more, or Rachel can walk away with something Rachel needs to do different, because that's not how we are transformed. We're transformed when we know who God is on a whole new level. And so that's, I try and approach my quiet time with that view, because it's so easy for me to be like, okay, yes, I'm going to start doing this, this, and this, because that's what Proverbs I read today told me to do. But instead be like, what does that mean about who God is? So practically, one, I would say fix your heart on that perspective. And then practically tools, like I love when I read through a verse, which if you're not even sure where to start, let me just tell you, start with John. John is an incredible story of who Jesus is and what he did for us and the ways he loved people. So if you want to get to know God, get to know his son. So Jesus is pretty cool. And John's all a story of it. So if you start in a certain place in the Bible, I love to read even just a few verses, and maybe even sometimes over again, until something sticks out to me. And then I start asking myself, like, why is it sticking out to me? Is there something that this is telling me about who God is? Have I heard this maybe before in a different area of scripture? Because, man, scripture repeats itself, which is the coolest thing, because it just confirms that God is who he says he is. But if you are someone who wants maybe a resource to go along with your Bible, if you are completely stuck or just need a plan, because some of us just need a plan, need a devotional or something. I love, Katie, I'm going to plug you. I love, She Smiles Without Fear. That's a great place to start. Also love Angie Smith's Seamless Bible study. It takes you from Genesis to Revelation in 6 weeks. You don't read the whole Bible. She does a lot of summarizing for you, but you're able to see the significance of what the Bible does and how it speaks to us. And it will fire you up to read the Word of God, because you're like, wow, that is so cool. It's a history lesson mixed with like a heart lesson. It is so cool. I love it. So that's a good place to, I'm trying to think of another practical. If you feel like I've talked about one before, you got to let me know, because I have so many things on my bookshelf I try and give friends.
Well, I love, and we're going to link that to those in the show notes. And I just love that you did, you know, it's okay if you're a little intimidated to open your Bible all by yourself. And it's also, I always encourage people to read God's Word in community. So even if you're reading it just by yourself, find somebody to talk to about it, a Christian friend to discuss it with. Because we sharpen each other and we encourage each other. And we also make that it's a built-in kind of accountability to make sure, like you said, Rachel, we don't make it too much about us, you know, to kind of help each other when we start to go, I think this is what this meant and we're not right, you know? So there's that God created the community for us to be a part of. And that's, and we can read the Word of God in community. And I know that maybe gathering might not be normal at this point, but you can Zoom with friends, or you can have a small group meet in the driveway in, you know, a circle of chairs. If it's not, I don't know where you live. It might be negative 25 degrees. So if it is, probably not the driveway, maybe Zoom until it gets warmer. But yeah, I love those suggestions, Rachel. And I just, I hope that in listening to this conversation, you have been encouraged that to practice soul care, you don't have to have it all figured out. It doesn't have to look the same every day. It doesn't have to look the same as you think it might look for another sister in Christ that you see. And there's no perfect standard of a way to spend time with Jesus. And so thank you so much, Rachel, for these wonderful and just really practical and encouraging things that you've given us to think about and consider. And I want to leave you with this one request that you can wake up every morning and give to the Lord, which is, God, show me the time that you have for me to spend with you today. And take that and let that help you live every day as your best day ever. Rachel, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a joy.